Ulysses, Disc 27.
Jimmy Henry. The Court of Conscience is now open. His Most Catholic Majesty will now administer open-air justice. Free medical and legal advice. Solution of doubles and other problems. All cordially invited. Given at this our loyal city of Dublin in the year one of the paradisiacal era. Paddy Leonard. What am I to do about my rates and taxes? Bloom. Pay them, my friend. Paddy Leonard. Thank you. Nosey Flynn. Can I raise a mortgage on my fire insurance?
Bloom. Obdurately.
Sirs, take notice that by the law of torts, you are bound over in your own recognizances for 6 months in the sum of £5. J.J. O'Molloy. A Daniel, did I say? Nay, a Peter O'Brien.
Nosey Flynn.
Where do I draw the £5?
Pisser Burke.
For bladder trouble?
Bloom.
Acid, night, hydrochlor, dill, 20 minims. Tinct, nux, vom, 5 minims. Extra, taraxel, liquid. 30 minims. Aq, dis, ter, indie.
Chris Callinan.
What is the parallax of the subsolar ecliptic of Aldebaran?
Bloom.
Pleased to hear from you, Chris. K11.
Joe Hines.
Why aren't you in uniform?
Bloom.
When my progenitor of sainted memory wore the uniform of the Austrian despot in a dank prison, where was yours?
Ben Dollard.
Pansies?
Bloom.
Embellish, beautify. Suburban gardens.
Ben Dollard.
When twins arrive.
Bloom.
Father, Pater, Dad, starts thinking.
Larry O'Rourke.
An 8-day license for my new premises. You remember me, Sir Leo, when you were in number 7. I'm sending around a dozen of stout for the missus.
Bloom, coldly.
You have the advantage of me. Lady Bloom accepts no presents.
Crofton.
This is indeed a festivity.
Bloom, solemnly.
You call it a festivity. I call it a sacrament.
Alexander Keyes.
When will we have our own house of keys?
Bloom.
I stand for the reform of municipal morals and the plain 10 commandments. New worlds for old. Union of all, Jew, Muslim and Gentile. 3 acres and a cow for all children of nature. Saloon motor horses. Compulsory manual labour for all. All parks open to the public day and night. Electric dish scrubbers. Tuberculosis, lunacy, war and mendicancy must now cease.
general amnesty, weekly carnival with masked license, bonuses for all. Esperanto, the universal language with universal brotherhood. No more patriotism of bar spongers and dropsical impostors. Free money, free rent, free love, and a free lay church in a free lay state. O'Madden Burke. Free fox in a free hen roost.
Davy Byrne, yawning. Bloom, mixed races and mixed marriage. Lennon, what about mixed bathing? Bloom explains to those near him his schemes for social regeneration. All agree with him. The keeper of the Kildare Street Museum appears, dragging a lorry on which are the shaking statues of several naked goddesses. Venus Callipyge, Venus Pandemos, Venus Metempsychosis, and plaster figures also naked, representing the new nine muses: commerce, operatic music, amour, publicity, manufacture, liberty of speech, plural voting, gastronomy, private hygiene, seaside concert entertainments, painless obstetrics, and astronomy for the people. Father Farley.
He is an Episcopalian, an agnostic, an anythingarian seeking to overthrow our holy faith.
Mrs. Reardon tears up her will.
I'm disappointed in you, you bad man.
Mother Grogan removes her boot to throw it at Bloom.
You beast, you abominable person.
Nosey Flynn.
Give us a tune, Bloom. One of the old sweet songs.
Bloom, with rollicking humour.
I vowed that I never would leave her. She turned out a cruel deceiver. With my tooraloom, 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 tooraloom.
Hoppy Holohan.
Good old Bloom. There's nobody like him after all.
Paddy Leonard.
Stage Irishman.
Bloom.
What railway opera is like a tramline in Gibraltar? The Rose of Castile.
Laughter. Lenehan.
Plagiarist. Down with Bloom.
The Veiled Sibyl, enthusiastically.
I'm a Bloomite, and I glory in it. I believe in him in spite of all. I'd give my life for him, the funniest man on earth.
Bloom winks at the bystanders.
I bet she's a bonny lassie.
Theodore Purefoy, in fishing cap and oilskin jacket.
He employs a mechanical device to frustrate the sacred ends of nature.
The Veiled Sibyl stabs herself.
My hero god.
She dies. Many most attractive and enthusiastic women also commit suicide by stabbing, drowning, drinking prussic acid, aconite, arsenic, opening their veins, refusing food, casting themselves under steamrollers from the top of Nelson's Pillar into the great vat of Guinness's brewery, asphyxiating themselves by placing their heads in gas ovens, hanging themselves in stylish garters, leaping from windows of different stories. Alexander J. Dowie. Violently.
Fellow Christians and anti-Bloomites, the man called Bloom is from the roots of hell, a disgrace to Christian men. A fiendish libertine from his earliest years, the stinking goat of Mendes gave precocious signs of infantile debauchery, recalling the cities of the plain with a dissolute grandam. This vile hypocrite, bronzed with infamy, is the white bull mentioned in the Apocalypse, a worshipper of the Scarlet Woman. Intrigue is the very breath of his nostrils. The steak faggots and the cauldron of boiling oil are for him. Caliban.
The Mob.
Lynch him.
Roast him.
He's as bad as Parnell was. Mr. Fox.
Mother Grogan throws her boot at Bloom. Several shopkeepers from Upper and Lower Dorset Street throw objects of little or no commercial value. Ham bones, condensed milk tins, unsaleable cabbage, stale bread, sheep's tails, odd pieces of fat. Bloom, excitedly.
This is midsummer madness. Some ghastly joke again. By heaven, I'm guiltless as the unsunned snow. It was my brother Henry. He's my double. He lives in number 2 Dolphin's Barn. Slander the viper has wrongfully accused me. Fellow countrymen, Scale imar butter, cush the gan couple. I call on my old friend, Dr. Malachy Mulligan, sex specialist, to give medical testimony on my behalf.
Dr. Mulligan. In motor jerkin, green motor goggles on his brow.
Dr. Bloom is bisexually abnormal. He has recently escaped from Dr. Eustace's private asylum for demented gentlemen. Born out of bedlock, hereditary epilepsy is present, the consequence of unbridled lust. Traces of elephantiasis have been discovered among his ascendants. There are marked symptoms of chronic exhibitionism. Ambidexterity is also latent. He is prematurely bald from self-abuse, perversely idealistic in consequence, a reformed rake, and has metal teeth. In consequence of a family complex, he has temporarily lost his memory, and I believe him to be more sinned against than sinning. I have made a pervaginal examination, and after application of the acid test to 5,427 anal, axillary, pectoral, and pubic hairs, I declare him to be virgo intacta.
Bloom holds his high-grade hat over his genital organs. Dr. Madden.
Hypsospadia is also marked. In the interest of coming generations, I suggest that the parts affected should be preserved in spirits of wine in the National Teratological Museum.
Dr. Crothers.
I have examined the patient's urine. It is albuminoid. Salivation is insufficient. The patella reflex intermittent.
Dr. Punch Costello.
The fetor eudaicus is most perceptible.
Dr. Dixon, reads a bill of health. Professor Bloom is a finished example of the new womanly man. His moral nature is simple and lovable. Many have found him a dear man, a dear person. He is a rather quaint fellow on the whole, coy though not feeble-minded in the medical sense. He has written a really beautiful letter, a poem in itself, to the court missionary of the Reformed Priests Protection Society, which clears up everything. He is practically a total abstainer, and I can affirm that he sleeps on a straw litter and eats the most Spartan food, cold, dried grocer's peas. He wears a hair shirt of pure Irish manufacture winter and summer, and scourges himself every Saturday. He was, I understand, at one time a first-class misdemeanant in Glencree Reformatory. Another report states that he was a very posthumous child. I appeal for clemency in the name of the most sacred word our vocal organs have ever been called upon to speak. He is about to have a baby. General commotion and compassion. Women faint. A wealthy American makes a street collection for Bloom. Gold and silver coins, blank checks, banknotes, jewels, treasury bonds, maturing bills of exchange, IOUs, wedding rings, watch chains, lockets, necklaces and bracelets are rapidly collected. Bloom.
Oh, I so want to be a mother.
Mrs. Thornton, in Nurse Tender's gown.
Embrace me tight, dear. You'll be soon over it. Tight, dear.
Bloom embraces her tightly and bears 8 male yellow and white children. They appear on a red-carpeted staircase adorned with expensive plants. All the octuplets are handsome, with valuable metallic faces, well-made, respectably dressed and well-conducted, speaking 5 modern languages fluently, and interested in various arts and sciences. Each has his name printed in legible letters on his shirt front.
Nisadoro, Goldfinger, Chrysostomus, Mandore, Silver Smile, Silver Selba, Vifajong, Panagyrus. They are immediately appointed to positions of high public trust in several different countries as managing directors of banks, traffic managers of railways, chairmen of limited liability companies, vice-chairmen of hotel syndicates.
A voice.
Bloom, are you the Messiah, Ben Joseph or Ben David?
Bloom, darkly.
You have said it.
Brother Buzz.
Then perform a miracle like Father Charles.
Bantam Lions.
Prophesy who will win the St. Ledger.
Bloom walks on a net, covers his left eye with his left ear, passes through several walls, climbs Nelson's pillar, hangs from the top ledge by his eyelids, eats 12 dozen oysters, shells included, heals several sufferers from King's Evil, contracts his face so as to resemble many historical personages. Lord Beaconsfield, Lord Byron, Wat Tyler, Moses of Egypt, Moses Maimonides, Moses Mendelssohn, Henry Irving, Rip Van Winkle, Kossuth, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Baron Leopold Rothschild, Robinson Crusoe, Sherlock Holmes, Pasteur. Turns each foot simultaneously in different directions, bids the tide turn back, eclipses the sun by extending his little finger.
Brini, Papal Nuncio. In papal zouave's uniform, steel cuirasses as breastplate, arm plates, thigh plates, leg plates, large profane moustaches and brown paper mitre.
Leopoldi autem generatio. Moses begat Noah, and Noah begat Enoch, and Enoch begat O'Halloran, and O'Halloran begat Guggenheim, and Guggenheim begat Agendath, and Agendath begat Netaim, and Netaim begat Lehersh, and Lehersh begat Jezurum, and Jezurum begat Makai, and Makai begat Ostrolopsky, and Ostrolopsky begat Shmerdas, and Shmerdas begat Weiss, and Weiss begat Schwarz, and Schwarz begat Adrianopoli, and Adrianopoli begat Arinhuis, and Arinhuis begat Louis Lawson, and Louis Lawson begat Ichabodonosor, and Ichabodonosor begat O'Donnell Magnus, and O'Donnell Magnus begat the Christobaum, and the Christobaum begat Ben Maimun, and Ben Maimun begat Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty Rhodes begat Benamor, and Benamor begat Jones Smith, and Jones Smith begat Savognanovich, and Savognanovich begat Jasperstone, and Jasperstone begat Vantienium, and Vantienium begat Sombate, and Sombate begat Virog, and Virog begat Bloom. Et vocabitur nomen Eius Emmanuel.
A dead hand. Writes on the wall. Bloom is a cod. Crab in bushranger's kit.
What did you do in the cattle creep behind Kilbarrick?
A female infant shakes a rattle. And under Ballyboff Bridge,
a holly bush. And in the Devil's Glen,
Bloom blushes furiously all over from fronds to nates, three tears falling from his left eye.
Spare my past.
The Irish evicted tenants, in bodycoats, knee breeches, with Donnybrook Fair shillelaghs.
Shambock him!
Bloom, with ass's ears, seats himself in the pillory, with crossed arms, his feet protruding. He whistles Don Giovanni, a Cenar Teco. Artane orphans joining hands caper round him. Girls of the prison gate mission joining hands caper round in the opposite direction. The Artane orphans.
You hig, you hog, you dirty dog, you think the ladies love you.
The prison gate girls.
If you see Kay, tell him he may see you in tea, tell him from me.
Hornblower, in ephod and hunting cap, announces,
And he shall carry the sins of the people to Azazel, the spirit which is in the wilderness, and to Lilith the night hag, and they shall stone him and defile him, yea, all from Agendath, Netaim, and from Mizraim, the land of Ham.
All the people cast soft pantomime stones at Bloom. Many bona fide travellers and ownerless dogs come near him and defile him. Mastiansky and Citron approaching gabardines, wearing long earlocks. They wag their beards at Bloom.
Mastiansky and Citron.
Belial, Lemli Novistria, the false messiah. Abulafia, recant.
George R. Messias, Bloom's tailor, appears, a tailor's goose under his arm, presenting a bill. Messias.
To alteration, 1 pair trousers, 11 shillings.
Bloom rubs his hands cheerfully.
Just like old times. Poor Bloom.
Reuben J. Dodd, black-bearded Iscariot, bad shepherd, bearing on his shoulders the drowned corpse of his son, approaches the pillory.
Reuben J. whispers hoarsely.
The squeak is out. A split is gone for the flatties. Nip the first rattler.
The fire brigade.
Flap!
Brother Buzz invests Bloom in a yellow habit with embroidery of painted flames and high pointed hat. He places a bag of gunpowder round his neck and hands him over to the civil power, saying,
Forgive him his trespasses.
Lieutenant Myers of the Dublin Fire Brigade, by general request, sets fire to Bloom. Lamentations. The Citizen.
Thank heaven.
Bloom, in a seamless garment marked IHS, stands upright amid phoenix flames.
Weep not for me, O daughters of Erin.
He exhibits to Dublin reporters traces of burning. The daughters of Erin, in black garments, with large prayer books and long lighted candles in their hands, kneel down and pray. The daughters of Erin.
Kidney of Bloom, pray for us. Flower of the Bath, pray for us. Mentor of Menton, pray for us. Canvasser for the Freeman, pray for us. Charitable Mason, pray for us. Wandering Soap, pray for us. Sweets of Sin, pray for us. Music Without Words, pray for us. Reprover of the Citizen, pray for us. Friend of All Frillies, pray for us. Midwife Most Merciful, pray for us. Potato Preservative Against Plague and Pestilence, pray for us.
A choir of 600 voices, conducted by Vincent O'Brien, sings the chorus from Handel's Messiah, Alleluia for the Lord God, Omnipotent Reigneth, accompanied on the organ by Joseph Glynn. Bloom becomes mute, shrunken, carbonized. Zoe.
Talk away till you're black in the face.
Bloom. In Corbeen with clay pipe stuck in the band. Dusty Brogues, an emigrant's red handkerchief bundle in his hand, leading a black bog oak pig by a sugon, with a smile in his eye.
Let me be going now, woman of the house, for by all the goats in Connemara, I'm after having the father and mother of a baiting.
with a tear in his eye. All insanity, patriotism, sorrow for the dead, music, future of the race, to be or not to be. Life's dream is o'er. End it peacefully. They can live on. He gazes far away mournfully. I am ruined. A few pastilles of aconite, the blinds drawn, a letter. Then lie back to rest. He breathes softly. No more. I have lived. Farewell.
Zoe, stiffly, her finger in her neck fillet.
Honest, till the next time, she sneers. Suppose you got up the wrong side of the bed or came too quick with your best girl. Oh, I can read your thoughts.
Bloom, bitterly.
Man and woman love.
What is it?
A cork and bottle. I'm sick of it. Let everything rip.
Zoe, in sudden sulks.
I hate a rotter that's insincere. Give the bleeding whore a chance.
Bloom, repentantly.
I am very disagreeable. You are a necessary evil. Where are you from?
London?
Zoe, glibly.
Hogs Norton, where the pigs plays the organs. I'm Yorkshire born.
She holds his hand, which is feeling for her nipple.
I say, Tommy Tittlemouse, stop that and begin worse.
Have you cash for a short time?
10 shillings.
Bloom smiles, nods slowly.
More, hurry, more.
Zoe.
And more's mother?
She pats him off-handedly with velvet paws.
Are you coming into the music room to see our new pianola? Come and I'll peel off.
Bloom.
Feeling his occiput dubiously, with the unparalleled embarrassment of a harassed peddler gauging the symmetry of her peeled pears.
Somebody would be dreadfully jealous if she knew. The green-eyed monster.
Earnestly, you know how difficult it is. I needn't tell you.
Zoe, flattered.
What the eye can't see, the heart can't grieve for.
She pats him.
Come.
Bloom.
Laughing witch. The hand that rocks the cradle.
Zoe.
Babby.
Bloom. In baby linen and pelisse. Big-headed. With a caul of dark hair. Fixes big eyes on her fluid slip. And counts its bronze buckles with a chubby finger. His moist tongue lolling and lisping.
One. Two, clee, clee, clue, clun.
The buckles.
Love me not, love me.
Zoe.
Silent means consent.
With little parted talons, she captures his hand. Her forefinger giving to his palm the past touch of secret monitor, luring him to doom.
Hot hands, cold gizzard.
He hesitates amid scents, music, temptations. She leads him towards the steps, drawing him by the odour of her armpits, the vice of her painted eyes, the rustle of her slip, in whose sinuous folds lurks the lion reek of all the male brutes that have possessed her. The male brutes, exhaling sulphur of rut and dung, and ramping in their loose box, faintly roaring, their drugged heads swaying to and fro.
Good.
Zoe and Bloom reach the doorway, where two sister whores are seated. They examine him curiously from under their pencil brows and smile to his hasty bow. He trips awkwardly. Zoe, her lucky hand instantly saving him.
Oopsah, don't fall upstairs.
Bloom.
The just man falls seven times.
He stands aside at the threshold.
After you is good manners.
Zoe.
Ladies first, gentlemen after.
She crosses the threshold. He hesitates. She turns and, holding out her hands, draws him over. He hops. On the antlered rack of the hall hang a man's hat and waterproof. Bloom uncovers himself, but, seeing them, frowns, then smiles, preoccupied. A door on the return landing is flung open. A man in purple shirt and grey trousers, brown-socked, passes with an ape's gait, his bald head and goatee beard upheld, hugging a full water-jug jar, his two-tailed black braces dangling at heels. Averting his face quickly, Bloom bends to examine on the hall table the spaniel eyes of a running fox. Then, his lifted head sniffing, follows Zoe into the music room. A shade of mauve tissue paper dims the light of the chandelier. Round and round a moth flies, colliding, escaping. The floor is covered with an oilcloth mosaic of jade and azure and cinnabar rhomboids. Footmarks are stamped over it in all senses, heel to heel, heel to hollow, toe to toe, feet locked, a morris of shuffling feet without body phantoms, all in a scrimmage, higgledy-piggledy. The walls are tapestried with a paper of yew fronds and clear glades. In the grate is spread a screen of peacock feathers. Lynch squats cross-legged on the hearthrug of matted hair, his cap back to the front. With a wand he beats time slowly. Kitty Ricketts, a bony pallid whore in navy costume, doe-skin gloves rolled back from a coral wristlet, a chain purse in her hand, sits perched on the edge of the table, swinging her leg and glancing at herself in the gilt mirror over the mantelpiece. A tag of her corset lace hangs slightly below her jacket. Lynch indicates mockingly the couple at the piano. Kitty coughs behind her hand. She's a bit imbecilic. She signs with a waggling forefinger. Blem, blem. Lynch lifts up her skirt and white petticoat with his wand. She settles them down quickly. Respect yourself. She hiccups, then bends quickly her sailor hat, under which her hair glows red with henna.
Oh, excuse.
Zoe.
More limelight, Charlie.
She goes to the chandelier and turns the gas full cock. Kitty peers at the gas jet.
What ails it tonight?
Lynch, deeply.
Enter a ghost and hobgoblins.
Zoe.
Clap on the back for Zoe.
The wand in Lynch's hand flashes. A brass poker. Stephen stands at the pianola, on which sprawl his hat and ashplant. With two fingers, he repeats once more the series of empty fifths. Florrie Talbot, a blonde, feeble, goose-fat whore, in a tatterdemalion gown of mildewed strawberry, lolls spread-eagle in the sofa corner, her limp forearm pendant over the bolster, listening. A heavy sty droops over her sleepy eyelid. Kitty hiccups again with the kick of her horsed foot.
Oh, excuse.
Zoe, promptly.
Your boy's thinking of you. Tie a knot on your shift.
Kitty Ricketts bends her head. Her boa uncoils, slides, glides over her shoulder, back, arm, chair, to the ground. Lynch lifts the curled caterpillar on his wand. She snakes her neck, nestling. Stephen glances behind at the squatted figure with its cap back to the front. Stephen.
As a matter of fact, it is of no importance whether Benedetto Marcello found it or made it. The right is the poet's rest. It may be an old hymn to Demeter, or also illustrate Cela Inarant Gloriam Domini. It is susceptible of nodes or modes as far apart as Hyperphrygian and Mixolydian, and of texts so divergent as priests high-hooping round David's, that is, Circe's, or what am I saying, Ceres' altar, and David's tip from the stable to his chief bassoonist about the all-rightness of his almightiness.
Me nom de nom.
That is another pair of trousers. J'étais la gourme. Faut que jeunesse se passe.
He stops, points at Lynch's cap, smiles, laughs.
Which side is your knowledge bump?
The cap, with saturnine spleen.
Bah, it is because it is. Woman's reason. Jew Greek is Greek Jew. Extremes meet. Death is the highest form of life.
Bah!
Stephen,
you remember fairly accurately all my errors, boasts, mistakes. How long shall I continue to close my eyes to disloyalty?
Whetstone. The cap.
Bah!
Stephen,
here's another for you.
He frowns.
The reason is because the fundamental and the dominant are separated by the greatest possible interval, which...
The cap.
Which?
Finish. You can't.
Stephen, with an effort.
Interval which?
Is the greatest possible ellipse? Consistent with
the ultimate return, the octave.
Which? The cap.
Which?
Outside, the gramophone begins to blare The Holy City. Stephen, abruptly.
What went forth to the ends of the world to traverse not itself? God, the sun, Shakespeare, a commercial traveller, having itself traversed in reality, itself becomes that self. Wait a moment. Wait a second. Damn that fellow's noise in the street. Self, which it, itself, was ineluctably preconditioned to become.
Go. Lynch, with a mocking whinny of laughter, grins at Bloom and Zoe Higgins.
What a learned speech, eh?
Zoe, briskly.
God help your head. He knows more than you've forgotten.
With obese stupidity, Florrie Talbot regards Stephen. Florrie.
They say the last day is coming this summer.
Kitty.
No.
Zoe explodes in laughter.
Great unjust God.
Florrie, offended.
Well, it was in the papers about Antichrist. Oh, my foot's tickling.
Ragged barefoot newsboys, jogging a wagtail kite, patter past, yelling. The newsboys.
Stop press edition. Result of the rocking horse races. Sea serpent in Royal Canal. Safe arrival of Antichrist.
Stephen turns and sees Bloom. Stephen.
A time, times, and half a time.
Reuben J. Antichrist, wandering Jew, a clutching hand open on his spine, stumps forward. Across his loins is slung a pilgrim's wallet, from which protrude promissory notes and dishonoured bills. Aloft, over his shoulder, he bears a long boat pole, from the hook of which the sodden, huddled mass of his only son, saved from Liffey waters, hangs from the slack of its breeches. A hobgoblin in the image of Punch Costello, hip-shot, crook-backed, hydrocephalic, prognathic, with receding forehead and alley-sloper nose, tumbles in somersaults through the gathering darkness. All.
What?
The hobgoblin. His jaws chattering, capers to and fro, goggling his eyes, squeaking, kangaroo hopping with outstretched clutching arms, then, all at once, thrusts his lipless face through the fork of his thighs.
Il vient, c'est moi, l'homme qui rit. L'homme primigène.
He whirls round and round with dervish howls.
Sœurs et dames, faites vos jeux.
He crouches juggling, tiny roulette planets fly from his hands.
Les jeux sont faits.
The planets rush together, uttering crepitant cracks.
Rien va plus.
The planets, buoyant balloons, sail swollen up and away. He springs off into vacuum. Florrie, sinking into torpor, crossing herself secretly.
The end of the world.
A female tepid effluvium leaks out from her. Nebulous obscurity occupies space. Through the drifting fog without, the gramophone blares over coughs and feet shuffling. The gramophone.
Jerusalem, open your gates and sing, Hosanna.
A rocket rushes up the sky and bursts. A white star falls from it, proclaiming the consummation of all things and second coming of Elijah. Along an infinite, invisible tightrope, taut from zenith to nadir, the end of the world, a two-headed octopus in gillies kilts, Busby and tartan fillybegs, whirls through the murk, head over heels, in the form of the three legs of man. The end of the world, with a Scotch accent.
"We'll dance the keel row, the keel row, the keel row."
Over the possing drift and choking breath coughs, Elijah's voice, harsh as a corncrake's, jars on high. Perspiring in a loose lawn surplice with funnelled sleeves, he is seen, verger-faced, above a rostrum about which the banner of Old Glory is draped. He thumps the parapet.
Elijah. No yapping, if you please, in this booth. Jake Crane, Creole Sue, Dove Campbell, Abe Kirshner. Do your coughing with your mouths shut. Say, I'm operating all this trunk line. Boys, do it now. God's time is 12:25. Tell Mother you'll be there. Rush your order and you play a slick ace. Join on right here. Book through to Eternity Junction, the non-stop run. Just one word more. Are you a god or a doggone clod? If the Second Advent came to Coney Island, are we ready? Flurry Christ, Stephen Christ, Zoe Christ, Bloom Christ, Kitty Christ, Lynch Christ. It's up to you to sense that cosmic force. Have we cold feet about the cosmos? No. Be on the side of the angels. Be a prism. You have that something within, the higher self. You can rub shoulders with a Jesus, a Gautama, an Ingersoll. Are you all in this vibration? I say you are. You once nobbled at congregation, and a buck joyride to heaven becomes a back number. You got me? It's a life brightener, sure. The hottest stuff ever was. It's the whole pie with jam in. It's just the cutest, snappiest line out. It is immense. Super sumptuous. It restores. It vibrates. I know, and I am some vibrator. Joking apart and getting down to bedrock, A.J. Christ Dowie and the harmonial philosophy. Have you got that? Okay. 77 West 69th Street. Got me? That's it. You call me up by sun phone any old time. Bumboozers, save your stamps.
He shouts,
Now then, our glory song. All join heartily in the singing. Encore.
He sings,
Jeru.
The gramophone, drowning his voice.
Jerusalem in your high ho 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 ho.
The disc rasps gratingly against the needle. The three whores, covering their ears, squawk.
Ah!
Elijah, in rolled up shirt sleeves, black in the face, shouts at the top of his voice, his arms uplifted.
Big brother up there, Mr. President, you hear what I done just been saying to you? Certainly I sort of believe strong in you, Mr. President. I certainly am thinking now, Miss Higgins and Miss Ricketts got religion way inside them. Certainly seems to me I don't never see no worse a scared female than the way you've been, Miss Flurry. Just now as I done seed you,
Mr. President, you come along and help me save our sisters, dear.
He winks at his audience.
Our Mr. President, he twigged the whole lot, and he ain't saying nothing.
Kitty, Kate.
I forgot myself. In a weak moment, I erred and did what I did on Constitution Hill. I was confirmed by the bishop and enrolled in the Brown Scapular. My mother's sister married a Montmorency. It was a working plumber was my ruination when I was pure.
Zoe, Fanny.
I let him larrup it into me for the fun of it.
Florrie, Teresa.
It was in consequence of a port wine beverage on top of Hennessy's Three Star. I was guilty with Whelan when he slipped into the bed.
Stephen.
In the beginning was the Word, in the end the world without end. Blessed be the eight Beatitudes.
The Beatitudes, Dixon, Madden, Crothers, Costello, Lenehan, Bannon, Mulligan and Lynch, in white surgical students' gowns, four abreast, goose-stepping, tramp fast past in noisy marching. The Beatitudes, incoherently.
Beer, beef, battle dog, Bible, Bizinum, Barnum, Boogerum, Bishop.
Leicester, in Quaker grey knee-breeches and broad-brimmed hat, says discreetly,
He is our friend. I need not mention names. Seek thou the light.
He carantos by. Best enters in hairdresser's attire, shinily laundered, his locks in curl papers. He leads John Eglinton, who wears a mandarin's kimono of nankeen yellow, lizard-lettered and a high pagoda hat. Best, smiling, lifts the hat and displays a shaven poll, from the crown of which bristles a pigtailed toupee tied with an orange topknot.
I was just beautifying him, don't you know? A thing of beauty, don't you know? Yeats says, or I mean Keats says.
John Eglinton produces a green-capped dark lantern and flashes it towards a corner with carping accent.
Aesthetics and cosmetics are for the boudoir. I am out for truth, plain truth for a plain man. Tanderagee wants the facts and means to get them.
In the cone of the searchlight behind the coal scuttle, Olive, holy-eyed, the bearded figure of Mananorn MacLear broods, chin on knees. He rises slowly. A cold sea wind blows from his druid mouth. About his head writhe eels and elvers. He is encrusted with weeds and shells. His right hand holds a bicycle pump. His left hand grasps a huge crayfish by its two talons. Mananorn MacLear, with a voice of waves.
Om Hek Wal Ak Lub Mor Ma. White Yogan of the Gods. Occult Pimander of Hermes Trismegistus.
With the voice of whistling sea wind.
Puna Janam, Patsy Punjab. I won't have my leg pulled. It has been said by one, beware the left. The cult of Shukti.
With a cry of stormbirds.
Shukti, Shiva, dark hidden father.
He smites with his bicycle pump the crayfish in his left hand. On its cooperative dial glow the 12 signs of the zodiac. He wails with the vehemence of the ocean.
I am the light of the homestead. I am the dreamery, creamery butter.
A skeleton Judas hand strangles the light. The green light wanes to mauve. The gas jet wails, whistling. The gas jet. Zoe runs to the chandelier and, crooking her leg, adjusts the mantle. Zoe.
Who has a fag as I'm here?
Lynch, tossing a cigarette onto the table.
Here.
Zoe, her head perched aside in mock pride.
Is that the way to hand the pole to a lady?
She stretches up to light the cigarette over the flame, twirling it slowly, showing the brown tufts of her armpits. Lynch, with his poker, lifts boldly a side of her slip. Bare from her garters up, her flesh appears under the sapphire and Nixie's green. She puffs calmly at her cigarette.
Can you see the beauty spot on my behind?
Lynch. I'm not looking. Zoe. Makes sheep's eyes.
No.
You wouldn't do a less thing. Would you suck a lemon?
Squinting in mock shame, she glances with sidelong meaning at Bloom, then twists round towards him, pulling her slip free of the poker. Blue fluid again flows over her flesh. Bloom stands, smiling desirously, twirling his thumbs. Kitty Ricketts licks her middle finger with her spittle, and, gazing in the mirror, smooths both eyebrows.